participating in for reasons that you are going to be explaining in this. effect of Judicious Amanda, first ever visual impact social prefect and president of the drama club of the institution. And then, Esa Presley again came and met me in Judicious Amanda, who is now the current senior prefect of the institution. He's now the current senior prefect, I'm serious. And we have six other persons with visual impairments right now as I'm talking to you. Of hearing impaired persons who are schooling side by side their sighted peers. In fact, they are temporarily able peers, for me to put it that way. And so that's how it's been. And in Harvard's Polytechnic here, on the first ever visual impaired. But right now, we have one other young lady who is equally a student journalist in level 100 who came after me.
And you got me in another institution instead of people.
Yes.
Tell me why you never got into that.
Well, I was supposed to be a student of National Polytechnic. And after my advanced level in 2013, I got to meet my young Rose, who called my young on phone. He was already in the United States receiving treatment. And my young was very, very delighted knowing that I was in his house seeking for a free scholarship to his institution. In fact, we spoke for close to 30 minutes. And he was very impressed and offered to grant me scholarship to his institution, but promised that that would only be possible when he's back in the country. Unfortunately, you know, he came back in the casket, and that helped in stifling my progress, academic progress for a whole year.
And then nobody really could follow up on what promise he made. After all, it did not need him to displace what I left to.
That's true. My young Rose would have been a better person because she knew what our discussion was all about, you know, before the demise of her husband. But I couldn't go back to her given the circumstances. Her family were under after the death of my young.
So I decided to go to another school.
I decided to stay at home till I got sponsorship from the Lilian Foundation, a Dutch-based organization. And, well, got to Harbors Polytechnic now.
Now, how did you get in touch with the Lilian Foundation?
The Lilian Foundation, we've been together since my primary school days, though. The only challenge I face is that I lost their sponsorship when I had the A levels and left St. Joseph's Children and Adults Home. So I realized at the end of the day that Reverend Father Joseph Adley, who was the then canon of the St. Joseph's Metropolitan Cathedral, could be of help. I met him, and he reconnected me to the Lilian Foundation. That's where I now got back to school.
You qualified to defend this portion of your studies in journalism, but you were, for some reason or the others, obstructed from doing so. Tell us how that happened.
Well, it's really a sad situation. But what I know is when I got into Harbors Polytechnic, the fear of the administration was that I might not be able to be well taken care of. In fact, they said they have no amenities to take care of persons with disabilities, but we succeeded to convince them that we have somebody. That is the education officer of the coordinating unit of associations of persons with disabilities. Interestingly enough, the organization for which I volunteered also for the year I spent at home. I volunteered advocating for the rights of persons with disabilities. And so this organization was willing to take care of my transcription problems, transcribing from Braille to print, and from print back to Braille. So with this, the school accepted me into the institution. And then when it came to sitting for the exams, well, the rector who was doing follow-up told me that it was not possible because the Ministry of Higher Education says that it does not have the facilities to ensure the welfare of persons with disabilities in the exams. But my question is, I don't know what they mean when they say they don't have the facilities, because if their fear is that the nation is even if I would advocate for provision of rounds, and if it's a matter of transcription, the education officer, Mr. Ngong Itatonai of Coordinating Unit of the Coordinating Unit of Associations of Persons with Disabilities, was willing to be on standby
to
transcribe transcription from Braille to print and from print to Braille. That is, to transcribe the questions from print to Braille so I could answer, and then the answers from Braille to print for easy marking. But I don't know whether the problem is that the institution lacked a hard bargaining power, or that the Ministry of Higher Education was adamant. And that's how I found myself where I'm currently.
Did you see any of the regional delegates involved at your level?
Well, I don't know any regional delegate in the Ministry of Higher Education, but I reported it back to the president of the Coordinating Unit of Associations of Persons with Disabilities, Northwest Region, Councilor Nito Samuel. And right now, they are thinking of a protest letter.
President Nito Samuel was a guest on this program too.
He did tell me, he did tell me about it. It told me a lot about you. And the founder and proprietor of Habams Polytechnic, he said, well, he's thinking to fly one too. And they shall do an advocacy trip to Yaoundé.
So in the meantime, you lost a year.
I've lost a year.
And you lost one earlier in another situation in which Dr. X, not any of your doing, got in the way.
That's it. That's it. You know, when I had my advanced level, I had to spend a whole year at home.
Why?
After the death of Payon, because I wasn't in touch with any sponsor who could help ensure my education. Besides that, you know, even when I succeeded to get my sponsors, that is the Lilian Foundation, I went back to the National Polytechnic. I found it difficult convincing the dean of that school of journalism that I am capable of sitting in the same class and coping with the same activities as my sighted counterparts. They said the activities there are rigorous, that they are rigorous, and they do not have the facilities to take care of persons with visual impairment, so to say, in the institution. They gave me a good number of frivolous excuses, which I dared to water down, but they were adamant. Reason why? Well, I decided to spend a whole year at home, and then found Habams Polytechnic, where Mr. Gideon Kaka, the veteran journalist, saw reasons with me schooling in that institution and admitted me. I found out also that I've never let him down. Yeah.
And I can tell you from your command of your English that there is no radio station anywhere in this town. I would not be proud of hearing somebody on the airwaves of their station talking as eloquently and brilliantly as you. Yet you are here out, stranded, doing a bit of, should I say, volunteer work with Rush Radio?
Yes, I volunteer with Rush Radio. You know, I've always longed to volunteer even for a particular radio to get the experience that is needed. Right from when I was in the high school. But when I tried in several radio stations, I was rejected, probably because the impression is same as that of the stakeholders, the educational stakeholders I met, that persons with visual impairment may not be able to deliver the goods, you know. When I, you know, submitted my form, my internship form to Rush FM, and they saw that I was a student journalist and that I could do my internship there, I was gladly received. And there I, well, did my 2 months of internship.
I proved your worth.
I proved my worth. And they retained me as a volunteer. I handle 4 programs. We have, that is on Saturdays, 3 to 5, I am on Rush Youth Forum. 5 to 6 is Disability and Society. 6 to 8 p.m. is Weekend Dance Time. said, besides, economists or some other person who may furnish me with as much information as I may need, maybe body language, maybe activity, especially when it has to do with sporting activities. You know, I need sight to be able to do that. That's why I say persons, sighted persons have just two eyes, but those of us who are really impaired, we have a thousand eyes, because if I come to you, Daddy, please, and say, help me read this text, I'm not sure you will refuse. So, your eyes are mine.
Yes.
And that's why I'm able to cope in the profession. And I've taught lots of people that it is not sight that matters in the execution of a task. It is the brain that matters. How you are able to, as a social prefect, I used to punish those who are sighted. I used to punish those who speak pidgin English in campus.
Because you didn't want them to speak in pidgin, for sure.
Of course. Yeah. And people were baffled at how I managed to identify those with inner sighted. And also how I could be able to take down the names of those who have not been able to see, because they always have their names inscribed on the badges of their uniform, but I would not be able to read them. So I would have to use tricks to be able to get the names. So I say that it's not the sight that matters in the execution of a task, but the brain.
Good. You are telling me a talented person, and it is clear that when God takes one thing from you, it gives you another, perhaps in triple sense. But the fact of the matter is that you are at a point in your life where you want to be a part of a career. And you're also in a digital age where maybe if you do not link well to the global village, you may not find the plan B as an alternative.
Sure.
I need to flourish.
Sure.
What are you doing to take advantage of the global village and of the internet?
Thank you very much, Daddy Chris. Let me see here that I've been able to study the computer. In fact, I've been trained on computer studies by the same education officer of the coordinating unit of associations of persons with disabilities, Don Peter, who was supposed to do transcription for me in exams. So I've been trained on adaptive computer for persons with disabilities. And right now, using the job access with speech program, the JAWS program, I can access documents, I can type, I can access and send mails, and I'm still learning a whole lot of things. Using the IT, I hope that there will be a time when I'm able to use the Adobe Audition to edit my own feet, you know. I'm hoping for that because I'm very much still in the process of knowing. In fact, digitizing myself as I know. So that's it. And let me also say that it is here that I am a student musician too.
Nice. You're a musician?
Yes.
And you're going to go to school?
Well,
I don't know who's teaching.
And
Ambikat,
yes, I listened to him once here.
Right.
And Ambikat is my teacher.
That's right.
And I'm having it tough with him.
Yeah, because he's a regular special.
I'm having it tough with him. And I'm also hoping that as a student musician, be able to identify that this is the voice of your other half. Surely you will. Or, in fact, when your lights are equally out, I'm sure that from the footsteps, you can be able to determine whether it's a human being coming or an animal, maybe a goat, a goat, or so on. Which means that we all have a day-to-day view of the world of persons with disabilities. You perceive as much as they do, only that your sight blinds you to the fact that you're supposed to be cognizant of your perceptive sense, your sense of perception. So I am of the opinion that we need to always maybe take off 30 minutes of our time to experience the world of persons with visual impairment. Only then shall we know that we shouldn't put breakers on the pedestrian tracks. Only then should we know that we must not put obstacles on the way of persons with visual impairment, because you've been able to, at least for 30 minutes, experience it.
Let me tell you something. You have been very impressive to the point where the station manager has come in and must intervene because it is irresistible to follow what you're saying without responding to it. And we want to honor you, especially and exceptionally, that this has happened, and I think it is the first time that this has happened. So let's listen to him.
Yes, that agrees. In fact, I was in my bath listening to the program when I got Mr. Edwin on air. The introduction that he was a visually impaired journalist student got my attention, and I had to rush my bath to listen to the program. It became so interesting that I don't know if I had his notepad because I had to rush to the studio to meet him in case he left. I want to say, Mr. Saidu, you are marvelous, you are wonderful, and I want to congratulate you for all the courage that you've gone through. In fact, I got so impressed that I had to communicate with the Chief Executive Officer of the Fumio Foundation, Dr. Christopher Fumio, that we have a wonderful student journalist here on a program which is a highly listened program. And in fact, I just was watching the pictures in the studio. And then he has told me to inform Mr. Sally again that the moment you are out of school, Foundation Radio grants you automatic employment. That is a message.
I'm overwhelmed. I'm speechless right now. And I wish to send my sincere appreciation to Dr. Chris Fumio. I've been able to listen to him on several occasions. Yes, I listen to him in the BBC World Service because I'm one person who likes to listen so very much to the BBC.
I'm a person who wants to know from the way you speak, not as a BBC friend.
I'd like the BBC World
president. We have Dr. Chris Fomalin in the house. We have Christopher Fogway too. So this is a pleasant coincidence. And I'm glad to have been able to. Maybe when next I come, we'll definitely talk tradition. Because like I told you, I'm a prince.